Hi, my name is Jenna Borak, and I'm a medical student working at Rady Children's Hospital as a research fellow. And today I'm here with Dr. Lawrence Eichenfield, a top acneologist in the country. And today we are going to review some tips and tricks for treating acne. This is for you, for all of you out there who are familiar with the overall algorithm in treating acne.
Well, thank you, Jenna. Thank you for the nice introduction. So I was asked to talk about tips and tricks to take care of acne patients. So why don't I start off with how do I evaluate a patient with acne? When I enter a room and the patient's there with acne is the complaint. And there's several things I take into account when I'm evaluating the patient. First of all, the age of the patient. I have, you know, if it's a 8 1/2, 9-year-old who has very, very significant involvement, say very studded with comedones on the forehead, a little bit on the cheeks. If it's a disproportionately severe case, even at young age, that's going to alert me that that's a patient who may need much more aggressive therapy over time. Especially those patients who are years ahead of their peers in their acne are often patients who work their way up to much more aggressive therapy, many times isotretinoin. So I'll sort of discuss that we need to be more careful and have more frequent visits to evaluate that patient. We need to evaluate prior therapy as we're figuring out which therapy to use, and that's important because a patient who comes in and had used, for instance, a generic tretinoin, I need to know, did they use it for a period of time and how good did they get with it as compared to if they used it for a few days, found it irritating, and stopped using it. Because it's very different to say, quote, I failed a medicine where they really had problems with irritancy, might not have been using it appropriately, might not have been using a moisturizer or a good skincare regimen associated with it. As compared to them actually doing everything correct and maybe getting a 30% gain in their acne and saying that's not enough for me to continue using the treatment. Certainly, the over-the-counters vary tremendously in their strength. The benzoyl peroxides vary. Salicylic acid can help to a degree, but it's not very, very potent, and that's important. Also, I want to know how the patient's prior therapy might influence on their sense of what we can do with their acne. Knowing that, I will often say one of my tips and tricks is I turn to the patient, I ask them if they hate their acne or not. If they do, they tell me, and then there's sort of a bonding moment in the room. If they don't, then I know they may not care, and then I have to sort of be careful in terms of not giving them too much work to do that they may not do if they're not highly vested in their acne. And I also want to set up reasonable expectations for what we can accomplish within a few months with our acne care. But one of the things I pretty much tell all my acne patients is that, you know, we can essentially clear anyone's acne. We just try to figure out the set of medicines that'll take care of that individual's with the least amount of side effects. If there's scarring present, I'll often mention that to both the parent, if there's a parent in the room, and the patient, because that's a reason for us to get more aggressive. Another tip and trick that I think is important is skincare regimens. We're pretty much reliant on our prescription products for much of acne care, and we're probably not as good as we could be at telling patients how to care for their skin in general. So I do think it's important to at least make mention, since many of the topical retinoids can cause a little bit of dryness, especially if they're overused, it's important to give the message of appropriate use, whether it be pea-sized amounts or pumps, so those products that come in pumps, to let them know that they can use those regularly, but they can also use a facial moisturizer in the morning, many times a facial moisturizer with sunscreen if they're going to have exposure, and that'll help to mediate some of the dryness that can happen from some of the topical retinoids. I try to get a sense that if they're using a harsher soap or cleansing product, to have them not do that, because that may make it harder for them to tolerate the medications. It's also important in terms of timing of treatments of medicines. If they're using a benzoyl peroxide leave-on product, for instance, or a benzoyl peroxide clindamycin combination, as something discussed, that that it can bleach clothing and bleach pillowcases. So if they're going to be doing that at nighttime, they may just want to sacrifice some pillowcases or use white pillowcases as a way around mm-hmm. some of the side effects. Assessing what they're doing, how often they're bathing, when they're putting on their products, can really make a difference. I think we learn a lot as physicians when we ask about that, and spending a little time to help them through that can be very, very helpful in terms of keeping them compliant or adherent with regimens. Or in the new parlance, basically having patients share in the decision making about what they're going to do, because often that's a better way to get them to do what it is that we want them to do, and we have the same goal together, which is to minimize the outbreaks of their acne and to minimize the appearance of acne or the secondary effects. Another tip and trick is set expectations. If you think that a single medicine is going to have a 50% decrease in acne counts, which is what the data generally shows, you may want to let patients know that they may get only partially better. I often ask my patients to get a sense of what percent better they think they are, with an understanding that they're only 50% better. We'll use something stronger the next time to get them up to 80, 90% clear. And so that's how I set my expectations, is actually say, look, I'll have you come back. You'll probably be between 50 and 80, 90% better. If you're only 50% better, it doesn't mean the medicine didn't work and you should therefore stop it. It just didn't work enough. And then we'll figure out what combinations of medicines will get them clear to almost clear. Another thing is to establish the time course for the follow-up. When I do have patients who are doing very well on an all-topical regimen, I don't necessarily need to see them. They can use their medicines and get refills up to a year at a time. Our policy is to see them back at a year. And I'll tell them that. I'll let them know that they're generally pretty safe medicines and we want to empower them to continue to get the prescriptions refilled, or in case of the non-prescriptions, to go ahead and use them. But I'll be available either in terms of visits or potentially using electronic medical records. They can ask their questions through that so that they know that we're there as a resource for them, but if they're doing great, we don't necessarily have to see them. So, acne, I know acne's sometimes it's the reason for the patient coming in, other times it's part of just general follow-up care, but I do think having a sense of some ways you can approach the patient can improve the results that we get with our acne care and minimize the impact of acne on our patients. Thank you very much.